Okay, we have a number of questions coming in that are want to look more toward solutions here, and I guess this is for Claude and Condi, but also anyone else. Claude, you talked about individual change, if you will, sort of building trust among individuals as the focus of change, and Condi, you refer to institutions, and we might think they're both government institutions on the one hand, state, federal, local, but then also non-governmental institutions of a variety of sorts. So one of the questions we have coming in is where should we look to or how should we think about this process of social change? Is it really going to occur primarily on the retail level, you know, one person at a time, or are we looking to federal government, or is it somewhere in between?
Well, maybe I'll start. This is Condi. Look, I think it has to be at all levels, and I applaud and want to be part of the movement to deal with institutional change, structural racism. I was very impressed by some of the things that were discussed, for instance, about issues about voting that should really not be beyond the realm of human creativity to solve. So there are a number of issues that need to be solved at the, let's say, wholesale level. But I'm also a great believer that while we're doing that, we shouldn't sacrifice whole generations of people who, if they were given proper education, for instance, with the ability to actually use the educational system in a way that is going to benefit them, that they might prosper. And I'm a big advocate of school reform. I'm an advocate of something, by the way, that has not been particularly popular in civil rights communities. I'm an advocate of school choice, of charter schools, of vouchers if necessary. And I'll tell you why. You want to talk about a structural problem. Our K-12 education system is an opt-out system right now. If you are of means, regardless of your color, by the way, if you are of means, you will move to a district where the schools are good. So that's why houses are expensive in the Oakland Hills or in Palo Alto or in Los Altos or in Fairfax County outside of D.C. or in Shelby County, Alabama, where my family lives. If you're really wealthy, you'll send your kids to private schools. So who do you think stuck in failing neighborhood schools? Poor kids. And a lot of those are minority kids. And so every time I see one of those editorials in the Washington Post from somebody saying, well, vouchers will destroy the public schools or our charter schools or destroying the public schools, and I don't mean to suggest all charter schools are good. Not all of them are, but some of them are. And you see what happens when there's a lottery to get a voucher to get into a charter school. The lines are around the block, and they're mostly poor parents and minority parents. So when you write that editorial that says that if we do this, we're going to destroy the public schools, write the editorial and send your kids to school in Anacostia. Don't send your kids to Sidwell Friends and write that editorial. So I think there's a structural problem in our education system, and to me, it's the most important civil right for an individual kid to have a chance.
Okay, so let me note for our listeners that we're going to return to education in a couple of weeks and look at both primary and secondary education and higher education. Anyone else want to weigh in on that question?
I would jump in. This is Claude. I think I'm unmuted. Yeah, I would say my remarks are targeted at how to make schools more effective with minority students and low-income students in general. I don't think our institutions really weren't, as they evolved, designed to deal with some of the challenges of poverty and disadvantage that they currently have to deal with. And I don't think the institutions themselves have developed the pedagogies that will scaffold these kids into a much more solid, constructive relationship to school. So I'm, as a psychologist, a social psychologist, focused on what do they have to do to make that work better as a general question. Not so much a question about policies or charter schools or so on, although I do believe that at a base, why is it that school funding is so tracked to higher income communities and, you know, our real estate system, everything is so hinged on that really does need some serious examination. A lot of what we come up with are often patches for a more fundamentally misguided funding structure and teacher assignment structure, for that matter. But the question of more immediate that I can be more useful for is, what does the school have to do? And I think it has to recognize the experience of these kids coming into school, and to address it, to be more forthcoming, to learn how to handle that better. And some of the things points I was trying to make in my remarks are aimed at doing that. And I won't elaborate more at this point, but that's the thrust of where that work goes.